respected elder brothers and sisters and brothers and sisters. I always, you see, express the word brother, sisters, rather than, you see, different, what say they, titles or these things. Whenever I meet people, talk, I always emphasize we are same human being. Because I feel it is extremely important. We must have this sort of view. 7 billion human beings. Same human being. On that level, hardly is in no sort of the demarcation. We all the same human being. and then when I talk, I often sit telling people, if I emphasize, I'm Tibetan, I'm Buddhist, and particularly if I stress, I'm His Holiness Dalai Lama. Actually, you see, that kind of sort of particular sort of emphasis is actually isolate from you. The result that creates in my mind some kind of lonely. And then, you see, too much importance, I mean, too much sort of stress, importance of individual, yourself. And then, you see, sometimes hypocrisy also, you see, then come. Little lie, telling lie here and there. If you too much sort of emphasis, I'm an important person. This is really self-deceiving, my way. After all, we are the same human being. No. So, brothers and sisters, I am extremely happy, great honor, you see, have the opportunity to share some of my own experience and my view. And particularly in front of these great learned people in front of you. You have the real authority. And I think those sort of among the audience also, you see, people who have full authority about education, modern education, these things. And I think no single sort of lesson about modern education. Nothing. So in front of you, I really feel great honor. Now, you all, as a human being, want happy life, happy day, and even, you see, you want happy, pleasant dream, isn't it? And desire for happy life, a happy day, not only a human being, but even different mammals, birds, all have same desire. So that's, I think, because of that, we have right to achieve happy life. And particularly we human being. Every human being have every right to fulfill that desire. So I always is telling, we really need sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. Look, not only past several centuries, but even today, there are a lot of problems which essentially our own creation. If each one really have this sort of genuine sort of feeling, oh, they are also human being. They also have the right to achieve happy life. Then these problems, I think, will not create it. Now, for example, the violence. I think the century-old concept of the we and they, that's the basis of violence. And also exploitation, bully, cheating. So therefore, these are there, because of that, too much sort of, the concept of we and they, then this immense corruption that also come. If you respect that, if you really develop sense of concern of their well-being, then these will not happen. So, for example, violence. Just repeat word peace, peace, peace. Will not much help. And even pray to God, I do not believe with blessing of God, real peace will come. I don't think. Logically, who created violence? We, not God. So therefore, we must develop. We must, develop peace. Firstly, peace inside. Genuine peace, only through inner peace. Inner, full of hatred, full of anger, full of frustration. Then peace, impossible. Only through inner peace. Inner peace, I think most of our disturbances in our mind, too much emphasis, we and they, something different. Only concern about me, about we. Then, once you mentally, you yourself create too much kasuta, a gap or division, then fear come, distrust, suspicion. That brings fear. So fear brings anger. So real sort of what's the disturbance in our mind is it's too much self-centered attitude. So therefore, this is not related with the religious practice. Simply as a human being, as a social animal. And then particularly now, this moment, unlike ancient time. Ancient time, yes, each nation, each individual country, even community. I think in ancient time, South Indian, they themselves manage, not much bother about what happened in North India. I think it's ancient time like that. Now today, completely change. East, their future depend on West. Western future depend on East. Similarly, South world depend on North. North world future depend on South. That's the today's reality. Then particularly the question of environment, global warming. The global issue, if something happened, everybody suffer. So in these, so therefore, the today's reality, firstly, we are social element. Each individual's future entirely depends on the rest of the humanity, rest of the society. And then these global issues, unless we develop genuine sense of same community, or Gajwe, sameness of humanity. I think this man-made problem will remain. So therefore, firstly, whenever I talk, I consider myself another human being. Some people say Dalai Lama is the reincarnation of our Lukulchara. Okay, let them say. But in reality, I'm just a human being. Like that. Then, another level, I'm Buddhist. I study Buddhism. I practice Buddhism, particularly Buddhism and Nalanda tradition. Buddhist tradition, I think, very much based on academic sort of knowledge, not just faith. So therefore, as a student of Nalanda tradition, you see, we study rigorously, although I'm quite a lazy student. Particularly at young age, I'm very, very lazy. Only out of little fear of my tutor. When I study, the tutor kept one whip. So out of fear, I pay some attention, study. Otherwise, not much interest, only play like that. So in any way, I trained, I had a practice. So then also, after I came to India as a refugee, me personally, I'm longest guest of Indian government. So, because of India's freedom, I had a lot of opportunity meeting with spiritual brothers, sisters from different traditions. So then, as a result, through personal contact, and I really developed genuine respect, admiration, these different religious traditions, major world religious traditions. Some believe you say worship sun or moon. That's something different. But major world religious tradition with certain philosophical sort of concept, all carry same message of love, message of tolerance, forgiveness, self-discipline, and also message of contentment. All major traditions have same sort of practice. Of course, there are different philosophical views, that not only between Buddhism and other tradition, but also within Buddhism, there are different philosophical views there. All these different philosophical views within Buddhism, all taught by Buddha. Sometimes I jokingly say, telling people, the Buddha taught, same teacher taught different philosophical views. To some people, he taught certain views. At some other occasion, he taught some different sort of philosophical views. This, not out of confusion about Buddha's own mind. Certainly not. Nor he deliberately tried to create more confusion among his student. No. Then these different philosophical view deliberately taught by Buddha shows, you see, there are different mental disposition among his own disciple. So therefore, it is obviously over, say, last 3,000 years, different place, different environment, different culture, different way of life, different mental disposition, what naturally there. So these great masters need teach different philosophical views. All these different philosophical views, same purpose. Purpose to bring conviction about these value of love. And then they just mention value of love. I mean, importance of love is not sufficient. We, human being, we also have, by naturally, you see, we have, even for the biologically, we have this sort of, we have sort of experience of anger, hatred, all these part of our mind. So, in order to promote the practice of love, we also need a certain sort of method to face anger, hatred, like that. So, therefore, all these teaching, all this tradition, emphasis important for practice of tolerance, practice of forgiveness. And often anger comes too much desire, too much attachment. So all these teaching also use emphasis importance of contentment. Then sometimes our emotion, you see, goes against our principle. So all these teaching teach us self-discipline. So therefore, all these major worldly traditions, really, the same message and different philosophy is necessary because of different mental disposition. Therefore, not only in the past history, but even today, this is sometimes conflict in the name of religion. Yeah. So we must make effort. We have to make effort. You see, to eliminate this conflict in the name of religion. I think, of course, in many cases, I think not the name of religion simply because manipulate. Not main reason. Main reason, political power, the economic interest. But some cases, I think, some as the fundamentalists or fanatics, fundamentalists, you see, sometimes you see create some problem. So there, you see, we need education. All major institutions, different philosophy, but all have same message, same potential to help humanity to create better human being, peaceful life. So religious harmony, we can develop. Now India is, I think, a living example. I think last over 1,000 years, all major world tradition live in this country. In Bombay, they follow Zoroastrianism. The Parsi community, very small, but no fear. They happily sort of settled there, so many centuries. And then Christianity come, Islam come, Judaism come, happily settled in this country. Then as far as Christian is concerned, I think on this planet, Christian brothers, sisters, I think really made greatest contribution regarding education. There's no question. In every part of the world, I think other tradition, including Buddhism, I think not much active education field or health field, whereas Christian brothers, sisters, really, extremely, you see, helpful. But sometimes our Christian brothers, sisters also usually carry some effort about conversion. That's sometimes difficult. One time I was in Kasadi, Chisanda. But in America, one place, Kasa. No. Kasa, no, Kasa. Kasa. Ha? Mormon. Mormon, yes. Utah, Mormon. No. One is to say, the leader of that organization, you see, invited me. And then, well, very nice. So I expressed, you see, these harmony, these things. Then they also arranged public talk. In my public talk, I praised, you see, sort of their, what is it, their teachings or their practice. And sort of the immense sort of service in the education field as well as the Kasa health. But meantime, I mentioned, you see, sometimes the conversion take place. Then those place where no major world religious tradition there, then conversion is very good. Christianity with philosophical views is much stronger. So teach them, convert in awe, I don't know. But then the place where the traditional sort of strong sort of spiritual traditions there, then conversion sometimes causing conflict. So I mentioned that. So the audience, they really, they applauded like that. So I think they agreed that. So it's a few occasions in Mongolia, some Korean missionary workers there. Yes, Korean Christian missionary sort of some groups, you see. They also came to see me. Then I told them, this is Buddhist country. So helping in education, health, wonderful. But conversion, not sort of the kasuta. Appropriate, right? Whereas I myself, you see, I give a lot of sort of explanation about Buddhism in different, in Europe and also America, North America, South America, like that. I always telling them, this is not Buddhist country. This is Judeo-Christian background sort of tradition. So it is much safer, much better to keep your own traditional culture, traditional spirituality. I always tell them. So change religion not easy. I want to share the audience one sort of example. In early 60s, then the number of Tibetan, their sort of the way of earning is simply road work. Very difficult. So especially so those people who have children, they really suffer immense. So one family, their father passed away, the mother with few young children remain. Then at that time, some international Christian organization, they really helped immensely. Also, you see, this family, you see, received help, and then the one Christian organization also, you see, the daycare education about her children. So I think 62, maybe 62, 63, you see, she came to see me, and she told me all his sort of, all her sort of stories, difficult sort of, sad sort of stories. And then she told me, finally, now for this life, now she become Christian. But next life, she will be Buddhist. So that's the clear sign of confusion. So it is logically, is it better to keep one's own tradition? So therefore, I never try to sort of promote Buddhism in non-Buddhist countries. And similarly, some Buddhist country, some missionaries, their work, their sort of effort to conversion, that also I'm not happy. So I told face to face directly to those Korean. So therefore, in any way, you see, you Christian brothers, sisters, really made greatest sort of contribution on this planet about education like that. So, and we can see the some Christian nuns and monks in very rural area in India. The facility, very, very poor. Perhaps I think Ramakrishna organization, maybe this is such sort of worker. But otherwise, Buddhists, I do not see any some Christian nuns or monks. They really serving in these such sort of rural area, poor villages, education, and health. So all their enthusiasm come from their faith, Christian faith. So therefore, there is a sort of sound basis to build genuine mutual respect, genuine admiration. That's the basis of genuine harmony. So, as a Buddhist monk, I fully committed to promotion of religious harmony. So you also, most of you, Indian, you have, let's say, 1,000-year-old, you have tradition, religious harmony. This is your treasure. You must make effort to keep alive this value. Then here, another thing I want to share. That is now, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion, they openly say non-believer. So about billion, quite substantial number. And then, frankly speaking, among the believers also, you see some rubbish believer also there. They believe God or Brahma or Vishnu or Saraswati, Ganesh, but their real life not caring according to their belief. Sometimes I teasing, you see, my Indian friend, you see, Indian people generally very much sort of religious minded people. I think each family morning you offer some flower, some incense in the front of Ganesh statue or Shivaji like that. Then looks, you pray to God almost now my corrupted life be successful. Pray, bless us. How can? I have, you see, one sort of experience, quite nice experience. one Cuban refugee who settled in America. They told me, they praying to God, the Fidel Castro, please, Castro appealed to God, Fidel Castro, bring to heaven sooner the better. It's quite nice, isn't it? Although he didn't like Fidel Castro, because they also suffer under his dictatorship. But no hatred, no hatred. So ask God, bring to heaven. Wonderful. So I think the proper way to pray to God with incense or flower, please bring these corrupted officials, corrupted people, bring to heaven sooner the better. So you have the over 3,000 years sort of tradition. So respect non-believer. You know, one school of thought, Charvaka. Charvaka, ancient non-believer, and because of the nihilist Charvaka. So rest of school of thought criticize that, argue that view, but at the same time refer people who hold that view, refer Kasadimit Rishi. Rishi means sage. So respect non-believer. I think and then multi-religious country when India sort of has the constitution, you see, because of the work, then you see the India's constitution based on secularism, because of the reality, multi-religion, religious community. So secular is very fit. According to Indian understanding, secular means respect all religion, including non-believer. Some my friend, some Christians, some Muslim, they feel the word of secular is a little bit negative towards religion or distance from religion. No, according to Indian understanding. So that, I think, your thousand-year-old your tradition, the secular, is, I think, very much relevant to today's world. Respect all religion, and also respect non-believer. And through a secular way, we can promote secular ethics on the level, to whole humanity. These moral principles, if you have religious belief, it is very good. All major religious tradition, you see, actually immense help to develop moral principle. But the non-believer, difficult. So therefore, you see, the only way is through, because of the secular way, to promote moral ethics. Here now, the use of common experience, we all come from our mother. We all have the experience, immense sort of, because of the affection from our parent, particularly from our mother. Then those is the people who received maximum sort of affection from our mother, I think in deep insight, I think much happier. Less fear than those individuals who basically very successful life, but an age, very young age, lacking about mother's care, affection, or from parent, or from friend, or put just a long way, living, or even as an unwanted child. Later, no matter how successful, in deep inside, some sense of insecurity. That automatically brings fear, distrust. So such person, whole life, difficult to show genuine love towards other. So that's one reason. We all have the, generally speaking, we all have the potential to show affection to other, because we received affection from our mother. Through that way, we've grown up. Secondly, use common sense. Among your friend, some may be billionaire, very rich, but as a person, unhappy person. Lonely, feeling lonely, fear. Some my friend, very rich, but as a person, very unhappy. So we are not part of mission. We are a human being, something we are living. So human love, affection is so important. Like that. Then, third point is scientific finding. Constant fear, anger, hatred, actually eating our immune system. Whereas more compassionate mind here automatically reduce fear and increase self-confidence, inner strength. So that immense help to sustain good health. So these are now scientific findings. Now last, I think a little over 1 decade. Now actually, now scientific research now showing these things. So therefore, use these things, we can educate people in education field. Sometimes we, the subject, compassion, love, these, we rely on preaching. Preaching. Very good. If you really practice sincerely or follow sincerely, then all major religious tradition, same potential to increase these our inner value. But then, non-believer, so we must find different way to approach. So that is the secular way to educate them. I think real transformation of humanity, better humanity, more sensible humanity, more compassionate humanity must produce through education, not through preaching. Over 2,000 years, these preachings, I think, really made tremendous contribution, but not sufficient. I think the secular way to approach, promote these values, then very fit in secular education field. That I want to share with you. In modern education, existing modern education, it seems to me very much oriented about material value. So generation who come from that, their way of life becoming some kind of materialistic culture, materialistic way of life, then these inner value some way eventually neglected. So now only thing, you see, the way to fulfill that through education. So I think like this university, I think the leaders and teachers, and even sort of senior students, you can you should discuss how to introduce or how to make more effort to promote inner value. While our brain, even week by week, develop through education. But brain become very smart, but here, sometimes, too much self-centered sort of feeling. Then education also become disposal of too much self-centered sort of mind. Then education also become destructive. So therefore, through young age, through kindergarten up to university, I think we should pay some attention about our inner values. This is not serving to God, but serving themselves in order to be a happier person, healthy body. These inner values are very, very important. And sometimes I teasing those young girl students or girls, I usually say teasing. I say, sometimes the female spend a lot of sort of money for kasa, cosmetic. Now, okay, but you see, real beauty or most important beauty is inner beauty, not external beauty. On the marriage, on the basis of external beauty only, then I think within a few weeks, I think quarrel may start. If you want divorce the sooner, then you completely neglect about inner beauty, more anger, more fight. Isn't that okay? But if you really want long-lasting marriage, then you must pay more attention about inner beauty. That's very, very important. Then, I think India, although I think the corruption, I sometimes describe corruption is the cancer of the world, modern world. We have to sort of tackle this. There's no point to neglect about that. Or you should not take for granted, some corrupted people there, some corruption there. It is something like way of life. It's totally wrong. Due to corruption, I noticed some area. The government, one occasion, I returned from Orissa to Delhi. The airport, I wait. I just waited there. One parliament member from that area, also you see, there. Then I mentioned, some rural area, some Orissa, some certain area, poor people, very, very poor. A government should pay more attention. Then that parliament member, he told me, the central government, as well as the state government level, you see, there are some sort of project or some scheme to look after, you see, these poor people. But then he mentioned, the most part of the money goes into pocket, not reach on the spot. I think if this country, not China also now, the corruption, I think corruption really affect the whole sort of people, and particularly the rural area and poor people. So we have to sort of educate to bring moral principle. That brings self-discipline. Not for sort of religious reason, but for their own fame, their own good name, their own physical health, everything. So that is, I think, very, very important. So young brothers, young Indian brothers, sisters, please think more seriously. You already have, I think, very good tradition of ahimsa. So corruption, also a form of violence. So if we develop firm belief about non-violence, then these automatically reduce. And then respect other concern more others than these ordinary Christians. So that's, I think, very, very important. I want to share with you. So, now some questions, isn't it? You arrange. So now some questions. Any questions you can ask me, you have complete freedom. And also, me also, you see, whether I answer or not, I also have the complete freedom.
Thank you, Your Holiness.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Please be seated. Over the last couple of weeks, in our schools in Bangalore, we had requested our students to come up with some pertinent questions to ask His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I think we have time just for one or two questions. So, Your Holiness, may I be permitted to ask you a question on behalf of this audience? You spoke about inner peace being important in the context of achieving peace in our environment. How can a person, from your practical experience, achieve inner peace?
I feel education, awareness. What really use about anger, about frustration? The anger never sort of help to reduce the problem. Only destroy your peace of mind. And not only destroy peace of mind, but also, you see, the greater potential of our brain, which can analyze reality objectively. So that part of brain function destroy. Too much anger. Anger is kind of emotion. Any emotion, and also too much sort of attachment. You see, these emotions, once you see fully sort of developed, then you can't see the reality objectively. For example, one of my friend, one American scientist, mainly, you see, he treated, I think, some patient who have the psychiatrist. Once he told me, people who develop anger, hatred, that the object he or she feel angry. The object appears very, very negative. But actually, 90% of that negativeness is mental projection, he mentioned. That's very true. So, at such sort of mental state, you can't see the reality. Without seeing, without fully sort of aware the reality, and all your method become unrealistic method. No matter what your motivation or purpose, good purpose or good motivation, but any unrealistic method will not bring satisfactory result. Look, I often is telling the Iraq crisis, Afghanistan crisis. Mr. Bush, my dear friend, I really love him. Really wonderful as a person. One occasion is after Iraq crisis happened, another my sort of the audience with him, and I told him directly, I love you, I respect you, but some of your policies concerned, I have some reservation. And he smiled. So, like Iraq, I think his motivation is very good. To bring freedom, democracy. Goal also very good, but then method, use force. So as a result, no matter what positive goal and a positive motivation, but because of unrealistic, wrong method brings unexpected consequences. So there's a clear example. So therefore, the Cassandra anger says, well, so I always look this line. Now, for example, 2000 2008 crisis, right? 2008, yeah, you see, crisis. I think 10th March, 2008, right? March, 10th of March. Usually we carry some, what is it, a function. After the function, about Indian Standard Time, 1 o'clock, I received one sort of message from Tibet through one of my sort of friend. Oh, now some people in some part of Lhasa, now they're moving demonstrations, for demonstrations. Immediately I felt, now they will suffer. So I developed the same experience, 1959, 10th March, sort of feeling. Hopeless, helplessness, too much sort of anguish, anxiety. But then you see, during that period, you see, I practice sort of special effort about, you see, develop genuine sense of concern of those Chinese hardline officials. Visualize them. And we have some sort of practice, see, through visualize, take their anger, suspicion, fear, take myself, and give patience, compassion, forgiveness, visualize through Kasvata. Through visualization, you see, practice like that. So, of course, that no help to solve the problem, but at least my own mind, my mental peace of mind is concerned, immense help. If I let anger, then no help to solve the problem, but only destroy my peace of mind. So these, you see, and then also is one 8th centuries, one great Indian Buddhist master, you see, he mentioned, he expressed, when we face some tragedy, then analyze the nature of the tragedy. Then, if there is a way to overcome that tragedy, then no need worry, make effort. If there is no way, if there is a way to overcome that tragedy, then no need to worry, make effort. With full sort of courage, full enthusiasm. If there is no way to overcome that tragedy, then no use too much worry. Very practical, isn't it? All these teachings come from India. your ancestor. So we always, you see, I always mention Indians, traditionally our guru, we are chela. So we are disciple of you. So like that. So therefore, use, you see, common sense. Use our intelligence. What's the benefit? Too much anger. That's the way. Oh, next question.
Thank you so much, Your Holiness. Just one more question. We are living in an age when we are, everybody is encouraged to assert their rights. You know, and some of these are fundamental, the right to liberty and freedom and prosperity and happiness. What does the role of rights, how does the role of rights come into play when we want to achieve oneness and prosperity in our society?
Kastati.
The role of individual rights.
So firstly, I think mentally, think about humanity. And practical, we can't do 7 billion sort of human beings sort of well-being. But change on global level first start from individual. So ultimately, individual have the Kasoda, Kasore, main responsibility to change. First, you yourself, you see, create more sort of self-disciplined moral principle and think well-being of other. Then that, share with your family member. Then one family, then share your neighbor. 10 families, 100 families. Each family, their own sort of friends. Through that way, 100 families, 1,000 families. I think that's the way to change the certain way of thinking, way of life, whole society. Through that way, eventually, and with education, there is real hope. End of this century, I think better world we can develop. So who start that? Not government, not United Nations, but individuals. So therefore, you should think these things. Then, when you think more about others, you automatically get more inner strength. That automatically bring inner peace. With the inner peace, some problems happen. Like basic sort of immune system is good, then some virus may not disturb your health. Similarly, basic your mental attitude, more compassionate, more sense of concern of others' well-being, there, some disturbance here and there may not disturb you much. If you too much thinking oneself, too much selfish, there fear come together, distrust come together. So yourself very weak, and that's according to that. So then that kind of sort of circumstances, then some disturbance here and there, really disturb your immensity. So it is impossible to remove all the negative things or obstacles on this planet. Only thing, if you develop certain inner strength, right kind of attitude, and sort of more holistic view, then external disturbances will not destroy your peace of mind. That you can do. I think I can share some of my own experience. Now I'm, because of the 78-year-old, at age 16, I lost my freedom. Age 24, I lost my own country. Now nearly 55 years. So a lot of sort of sad news from Tibet. Occasionally some good news, otherwise always very heartbreaking news. And meantime, the Tibetan, they said, trust me. So I have some kind of very, very heavy sort of sense of responsibility and helpless. And then look, world. Now these days, Somalia and Syria. And then India also, about a few weeks ago in Delhi. One day I passing through, street children, homeless person, some old people, some young. Particularly one day, I come across quite young, sort of was the female. You see the kasa, holding kasa, that stick cannot move properly. And I notice, I think very much kasa, sinking. Looks full of sad. And sort of expression of helplessness. Many people going here and there, nobody pay attention to that. Very sad. Very sad. But then, then help come from awareness, more realistic thinking, more holistic thinking. Then can maintain peace of mind. It's a mind too much overwhelmed sadness. Then difficult. So sadness out of sort of concern of others' well-being is good, but should not be overwhelming. So that sort of help come from awareness. Another word we can say, holistic view. Things are relative. Except God. God is absolute truth. otherwise, you see, everything is relative. So, there's a comparison. Compare this, not bad. Compare this, not good. Like that. And then holistic. Everything interdependency. So, no single event, absolutely, due to many other factors. So, our enemy, say, not come independently, but due to many other factors, including your own attitude. So, from that viewpoint, who creates your enemy? Much yourself. So, therefore, once we see the holistic view, then these emotions reduce, destructive emotions. Because naturally, these destructive emotions is very much biased. Biased emotion need independent target. Once we saw, things are very much sort of interconnected, interrelated, then the independent target then become a little bit soft, soft like that. So then intensity of negative emotion reduce. So awareness, very, very important. That I myself, you see, practice these things. So it means a lot of problems, a lot of sort of sadness there, but will not destroy my peace of mind. I can maintain peace of mind. So as a result, my physical condition also quite good. Recently I met, you see, one meeting, Nobel Peace, Kasora, Peace Nobel Laureates sort of Summit meeting. And then we just, you see, casual, sort of, at lunchtime, casual talk. Then we mentioned, you see, about age. And I mentioned my age. Over 78. And then my friend said, doesn't believe that. Oh, no, impossible. then I told him, yes, year, 1935. And he still said, no, that must be wrong. So he believes, you see, judging my face, you see, he believed much younger than 78. So all this, and then medical checkup from time to time. They say, one time, you see, in Delhi, it's a medical checkup or some sort of, what's it, treatment. And then, I want to say, one important organ, the kasada mint, gallbladder. Now my gallbladder, gone. So my body, not a full human body, but something missing. So at that time, you see, the physician, you see, described me a young patient. Young patient. Then I told him, no, I am not young. Then at that time, I think my age, I think 75 or 76 or something, or 75, I think. I told him, I'm not young. Then he mentioned, he responded, yes, he know my age, but your body, physical condition, looks 60, like that. So therefore, I think those people who take care of your health, I think please, besides taking medicine or vitamin, pay some attention about your mental sort of state. Less anger, less hatred, less sort of jealousy. Then your mind can be more peaceful. As a result, then your physical becoming more healthier. Very good, very
good, very good. Thank you very much, Your Holiness.
That I think you can, you will have like the other sort of voice, such a strong voice, wonderful voice. I would like to have that kind of voice, not that mustache. Sorry. Yes.
Thank you so much, Your Holiness. For lack of time, we would not be able to continue. But we are so grateful for your words of wisdom this morning. Thank you.
May I request Mr. Carl Lowry, Principal Christ Church, Mumbai, and President of the AHAIS, to deliver the vote of thanks.
Really appreciate all your sort of contribution for future of India. I really very much appreciate. Please continue that great contribution. India, most populated democratic country, in spite of some drawbacks here and there. I think basically because of democratic country, rule of law, India, I think since independence, very, very stable country. Compare Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, all these neighboring states, India is most stable, wonderful nation. So now you, as an Indian, full of self-confidence, with that, honest, truthful, transparent, through that way, you can build India further, much more healthier way. So please keep in your mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, His Holiness. It's my privilege to have been asked to propose a vote of thanks for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, as well as Mr. Nandan Nilankani. I must say that it's been an abundance of plenty today. And just to quote Douglas Adams, I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I have ended up where I needed to be. And I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of everyone over here. Just hearing the Holiness Dalai Lama and Mr. Nandan Nilankani today has really been an education in itself. We thank you most sincerely for sparing the time to be in our midst. We are truly inspired by your words and your very presence in our midst. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I request you to kindly stand for the national anthem.
जनगणमन अधिनायक जय ये भारत भाग्य विधाता पंजाब सिंध गुजरात मराठा द्राविड उत्कल विंध्य हिमाचल यमुना गंगा उच्च उछल जलधि तरंग तव शुभ नाम जागे तव शुभ आशीष मागे गाए तव जय
you to remain standing as our dignitaries on the dais leave the auditorium.